This reading will be from Luke chapter 1, from 39 to 55. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever."
Thank you all for your participation. Fills my heart to hear all this, and I appreciate it so much. I was thinking this morning, looking at today's scriptures, and just thinking through Advent, of what we've been going through these last 4 weeks, leading to Christmas. Now, traditionally, Advent is a time of reflection and remembrance. We celebrate a baby born. And I think, you know, as we think about things we do, you know, putting them up a tree, just the traditions around it, a wreath and a candles, special devotionals or prayers, Advent calendars. I mean, for goodness sakes, you can get a Marvel Lego Advent calendar. So there it is. It's in our culture deeply, all right? And I fear that if we're to the place of a Marvel Advent Lego calendar, that maybe we're not really thinking about what Advent is really about. I'm just maybe, right? And so we want to take advantage of this time to think. Eastern Orthodox folk, they fast. They do a 40-day fast. So not 40 days full, but they fast during the day and they have different traditions of that. But just a time to stop and reflect. And the whole idea of reflection just flies so counter to what our culture pushes us towards. Just the pace, the frenetic energy that we want to put into everything we do, what we encourage in our work and even in our play, it's difficult to slow down. I find it just very hard to even have my mind slow down a little bit. Now, one of the advantages I have is every week I am pressed in looking at God's word for a sermon. You know, it just takes reflection, takes some time to really think about it, and so I'm very grateful for that. I was thinking again this morning of how for all the technology that we look at and think, oh, it can be a problem, you know, the opportunity we have with God's word and the resources and the things you can get with a click of a button, or even just the different kind of Bibles you can have and study. We have so much. And my encouragement to you this morning, this first thing is, I understand, you know, in the business of things, you know, God's word and reading and deep study is difficult. But even once in a while, maybe a Sunday afternoons or sometime, get a Bible, a study Bible, one that has like a chain reference or, you know, and just in some reading, and just go down a rabbit trail. See the cross references, see where it goes. Look at those scriptures, see how they come together. It really is quite fun and enlightening and encouraging to see these sorts of things. And that's what we kind of see today in all these readings we did. There's a thread that I want to pluck at and consider slowing down. The picture and story we have is of Elizabeth and Mary. So this is even before the baby is born. It's that anticipation of birth. And by the way, there's a new swim grandbaby, right? The name is Miriam Magnolia. I love that. I don't think I'll ever be able to say, hello, Miriam. It's always Miriam Magnolia. It's going to be wonderful. So, and born, healthy, wonderful. Okay, so there's a lot of anticipation that went into that, wasn't there, right? I mean, there's this, you're waiting. That kind of waiting is a special kind of waiting. You know, it's not like you're waiting for a doctor appointment, or you're waiting, you know, to go to the dentist, or you're waiting, you know, in line at the DMV. Okay, that's a whole different kind of waiting. We want to consider awaiting a birth, which is special. Possibilities, and there's just so much that's there. Now, as we consider then what these scriptures have, I just want to reflect on a line of thinking and how we wait, how we can respond to that waiting. Now, we see the story in Luke, the first part, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And she goes there and says, and John the Baptist was just a guy, go get her right from the womb, right? Leaping in the womb. Now, have you ever seen, you know, a baby? Yeah, I remember when Cher's pregnant with Emma. You know, this first child, brand new to me. And to see, especially towards the end, when she's really active, and all of a sudden, like, the whole would just change shape right in front of you. Wow. You know, or one leg just going bow, bow, you know, like, and you can see it, you know, that's crazy, right? So you can imagine John the Baptist when the presence of Jesus leaping, right? So I think the first thing we want to think at then in terms of waiting and responding to the Savior in this time of Advent is the idea of recognition, of simply recognizing who it is that this baby is, right? John in the womb recognized it, and then and Elizabeth then saw to it, and the key there was that she was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Filled with the Spirit, she recognized how special this baby was. So we must consider that in our lives too, as we think through this season of just one bit of listening to the Spirit to recognize this baby. And in that recognition, and by the Spirit, there was joy, baby leaping, Elizabeth saying how she is blessed just to be in the presence, that the mother of this baby would come to her, a recognition of how special and important this baby is. To say, I am blessed. Just to know and to see and to be in the presence of this. And Mary is blessed and Elizabeth's blessed and humbled by this presence. Again, think about it. Humbled by the presence of an unborn baby. Something to consider. And I think what was fascinating, under the influence of the Spirit, Elizabeth recognized that this baby was a fulfillment. To be fulfilled, to understand God's faithful promises. That's what she said here in, where are the scriptures? There we are. Sorry. That's what she said. She said, there we go. And blessed is he who believed that it would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. There was an understanding. So in that recognition by the Spirit, we see the blessedness of it, the importance of it, and a fulfillment. Now, in that idea of fulfillment, we can look at our scripture there in Micah, which I thought was fascinating, because that speaks of the one who's coming, right? And in that, this prophecy, which we understand to point to Jesus now, right? The one who's coming and all these things, we have a want or a seeking of understanding. So we want to have a recognition in the power of the Spirit, and here an understanding of what was promised and who is fulfilling this promise. And Micah gives us a picture of understanding here, of one who's coming, who's a ruler, right? One shall come forth who will be the ruler of Israel. And so that anticipation of who this child is going to be, we see the idea of a unifier whose coming forth is from all of ancient days, who be the ruler and bring his people, and the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. That's the key. The Israel will be united again. Israel had been scattered, was not united in these times. Roman rule and all these things, and there's this hope looking forward of the ruler who would come in and bring them back together. So we have a unifier. How appropriate is that today as we look in our world and we see a humanity that is so divided along so many lines, racially, politically, socially. I think it's somewhat in our fallen nature to seek out these divisions, to define ourselves in opposition to another. And that way we can better, feel more comfortable in ourselves. And so we put up divisions along all these lines. And we see that across all kinds of governments and countries and cultures. And this one coming that we see as a unifier. There's something that even in our wanting to be divided, there's also something we see sometimes how it is not good to be divided. And so we have the great unifiers coming. And the unity we see in Micah here extends beyond just Israel. When the rest of the brothers shall return to the people of Israel. That idea of humanity wide, that it was not just Israel, but this one coming was going to be for the whole world. We see also in Micah a strong and majestic leader. And when we think of strength, we want to imagine the ruler who is able to protect, who's able to heal, who's able to give us justice in a world that is so rife in injustice. And this one coming is also worthy. Worthy of our allegiance. Worthy of our worship. That is the one who's coming. And it's funny to think about that. Elizabeth and Mary, in their considerations, even before the baby is born, had the background of these thoughts and trying to understand who this person is. In fact, we see that in Mary's response to what Elizabeth said. Mary, who humbly responds to the Lord. And first says magnify. And so we have a recognition and an understanding. And in Mary we see a humble worship. Again, think about that. A humble worship. She's the mother. She's got the baby inside of her. And in her understanding, she humbly worships. There's a proclamation, an acknowledgement of this baby is special. There was rejoicing. And that rejoicing was a rejoicing of looking forward. Because none of this is happening now. It's a baby in the womb. And even after the baby's born, it's helpless. It's a little baby. But she was able to rejoice in anticipation, in the recognition by the Holy Spirit, in an understanding of who this baby was going to be. She could rejoice in faith of knowing who this person was. And her meditation then went, in her humble worship, went to God and who He is, mighty, holy, merciful, strong, just. This is a great song that Mary gives to us. And in that picture of who God is, there's also the understanding of the kind of God He is and the people He's bringing to Him. Those who are going to most benefit from this person. We see Him scattering the proud, bringing down the mighty, exalting the humble, filling the hungry. In some ways it is justice. In some ways it's upside down to what a worldly perspective would be on a ruler and king. Typically in political circles, the rich, the well-to-do, the powerful are those who have influence with a great ruler. But in God's kingdom, it's the other way around. And the humble are uplifted, the proud are put down. And I was fascinated by this idea that he said the rich are turned away. Again, upside down from what we think. Now, I think we need to think of this in a full way, because we are all very rich, generally speaking, in our world. But there is that ring of Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's an understanding of our need of a Savior, of our need for this baby to come, that we need Him. I am poor in spirit because I cannot do it myself. And Mary gives us a humble worship in response to this baby. Now, as we consider all this then, we have this, again, that double ring, right? We have a baby who's coming, and if we want to consider, the baby's already been born, but the baby lived, he grew up, and we know what happens. We kind of see the end of that story. But in this time of Advent, especially, we remember that in the same way, we are in that same place, right? We are in that anticipation of birth, so to speak, for Jesus comes again. Romans 8 gives us that very clearly. The whole creation groans as in the pains of childbirth. And so we find ourselves in that same place. And so all of these things of recognizing the Savior are for us too, to recognize and understand and humbly worship Him. The writer of Hebrews tells us the why of what we are going to do. Now, the reference is interesting. If you look at what the Hebrews writer is referencing, was Psalm 40. And if you look at Psalm 40, it's actually very interesting. It's almost a direct quote. But Psalm 40 says this, starting at verse 6. You have not desired sacrifice and meal offerings. You have opened my ears. You have not required burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, behold, I have come, as written of me in the scroll of the book. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, as I read this, I realized this morning when I was looking at, I was reading NIV, and now I just read it in my NASB, and how some things can change. So I will let you know what I'm thinking here. So in that psalm, I think we see how we need to respond to the Savior today. The first we see is the idea of surrendering to Him. Now, what was interesting is, you know, in verse 6 here, it says, you have not desired sacrifice, you have opened my ears. And I have a little note here, which is always good, because then we can look, and it says, or possibly pierced. Now, some of your Bibles may say pierced. And actually, I kind of like that. And here's why. The idea of piercing, a piercing of the ear, was a sign of submission and authority, that a giving of allegiance. It was acknowledging that I am going to permanently put myself under you and your authority. A slave could be freed or could decide that I want to stay with you, would get his ear pierced. And I think that's a good reference that we see here. So our response, first off, again, in our recognition of a Savior, in understanding who He is, why He came, our need for Him, to humbly come before Him, to see our need, that I am poor in spirit, then we acknowledge our allegiance to Him, even in anticipation of His coming again. He's not here yet. We are in those pains, but we humbly commit ourselves to Him, and we do that today. And then secondly, this reference tells us to a commitment to obedience. Even as Jesus obeyed, humbled Himself, gave Himself for us, we desire then to do His will, to completely rearrange our lives, to be under Him and what He wants for us. And so our challenge, I think, in this season of frenetic activity and hectic planning and gifts and coordinating dinners and times and traveling and all the things that go into our consumeristic capitalism and all wrapped up into what we do, we slow down for a moment and consider a baby. Celebrate an Advent wreath to remind us to think about these things. And my prayer for each of us, for you, for me today, is to humbly respond to Him as Mary did, in a surrender to Him. And that's all we need to do. That is the good news. Believe and you will be saved. And in that belief, we commit our lives to Him, simply, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And the Hebrews tells us that too. That He took away the old part, the sacrifices, and gave us the new way, which was Him and Him alone, to make us right before Him. And so we believe in Him, we accept Him, give our allegiance to Him, and commit to do His will, and to seek His will, and not just my own. And that is a message of Christmas. I pray we would have that for each of us this week.